This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Abolish the Boston Redevelopment Authority. Establish term limits for the mayor of Boston. Those were just some of the ideas that former city councilor Sam Yoon put forth in his bid to unseat Boston Mayor Thomas Menino. Yoon ended up losing twice to Menino in that election season, first in the preliminary mayoral race, where he lost to city councilor Michael Flaherty, and again in the runoff election as the freshly minted deputy mayor in an innovative ticket with his once rival, Michael Flaherty. That was November. Flash forward to this week, when Yoon announced he's moving to Washington, D.C. for a new job. He says part of the reason for the move is that after his campaign for mayor, he's had trouble finding work in Boston, claiming that running against the now five-term Menino has hurt his employment chances. So, listeners, what do you think about Sam Yoon's decision to leave town, and what do you think about his career here in Boston overall? Do you think he was shunned because of his opposition to Mayor Menino? Or is he just trying to head to greener pastures down south in D.C.? You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Sam Yoon joins us in the studio now. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Good to be here, Meghna.
Well, Sam, let me just ask you, what has life been like since the election for you?
It's been bizarre. When you are moving so quickly and your life seems like it's programmed for you at every hour of the day, and then all of a sudden it stops. It's a really hard adjustment, you know, to be quite honest.
And especially given sort of the rocket ride that your career seemed to be taking here in Boston. I mean, I remember when you won the city council election, there was excitement over you being the first Asian American city councilor, your new ideas, mm-hmm. your youth, and just the way you were connecting with the community. It's got to be quite an abrupt shift. Abrupt shift on that.
It was an abrupt shift. And it's not like I had tons of political role models in my life or my community that told me about, you know, how to adjust when you lose an election or what life is like when you win. And so I had to make all those adjustments myself. But in a general sense, unemployment is tough. And it gave me a new appreciation for people, for the tens of millions of people out there who are looking for a job.
So why is it that you think that you're currently unemployed now?
Well, I'm now employed, fresh, newly employed.
Okay.
It was clear to me within the first month or two that folks in my network who had access to opportunities I got signals that were pretty clear that, you know, to the extent that an organization was going to work closely with the mayor, with the city of Boston, that to bring me on board would pose some serious risk. And so it didn't shock me. And it's something that's, you know, kind of well known about the administration. But it was, it was something that I was not really prepared to deal with in the normal course of looking for a job.
So basically what you're saying is that people in maybe certain organizations that you were interested in working for were saying that they didn't want any bad blood to be between you and however Mayor Menino might be seeing it to interfere with the business that they do.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, my background is in the nonprofit world, and a lot of the nonprofits in Boston do work closely with the city and then with the mayor, as they should. But even during the campaign, it was, there was a dynamic there that those organizations that should be excited about a progressive who comes from the nonprofit community running to be mayor, that they had a real dilemma in terms of whether they could be vocal at all, even just as individuals, let alone wearing the organization's hat, you know, but as individuals saying, hey, we may need a change because they get things from the city that they're going to continue to need.
We should say here that we definitely called Mayor Menino's office, but they did not offer comment on this. But Sam Yoon, part of me is just kind of, I don't want to say I'm dubious, but I'm just curious more than anything, because here we are in one of the cities that has one of the richest and largest groups of nonprofit organizations, community development organizations. And, you know, are you saying that amongst all of them, you were unable to find a job?
No, I don't want to overstate the case either. There was the economy is terrible. You know, and it's true, you know, organizations, so many of them are just, you know, freezing their hiring, you know, intentions or whatnot. And certainly that was a large part of it. I mean, but I kind of thought, you know, and people would say that, hey, look, you know, somebody that has kind of a public profile and has skills and talents, you know, should be able to. I mean, they meant that not to blow smoke or to pump me up, but there was there was almost an assumption on their part, which I just kind of, you know, took as possible. But when I got this kind of feedback, it is kind of deflating, especially for somebody who has invested so much in the city and around, you know, positive change, meaningful change. And I also didn't mean to make a self-fulfilling prophecy. The more you kind of create that perception that, oh, I'm a marked man, I'm radioactive, the more you become that way. Mm-hmm. So I really tried hard to just put myself forward and just say, here are some things that I can offer. But from people that I trust, you know, that those signals were kind of clear.
Well, we're talking with Sam Yoon, former Boston City Councilor and former candidate for mayor of the city of Boston. He says he's moving to Washington, D.C. So if he was your city councilor, or if you supported him at one time for his mayoral bid, what do you make of that? Join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Now, Sam, I mean, other people who are familiar with Boston politics and the that world say that maybe instead of leaving, you ought to just bide your time, that you do have quite a potential career here, and just being down in the trenches for a while longer would actually benefit you. And next time around, maybe 4 years from now, maybe, mm-hmm. maybe 8 years from now, you could make that huge splash that you were aiming for in this mayoral race.
Yeah, I did hear that a lot after I lost, that I was could I have been too impatient if I had just, waited. But then, you know, my whole campaign message was that we can't wait. We can't wait for change. And others have encouraged me by saying, look, if Barack Obama had taken that tack and said, why don't you spend at least a full term on the Senate before you take the risk of going from, you know, zero name recognition as a senator and almost zero and trying to launch a presidential bid, then we wouldn't have the president that we have now. But of course, my story didn't work out the way his did. That's the nature of risk.
I was going to say, you're comparing yourself to the president of the United States.
Not
there,
at all. But in a sense, you know, my orientation was to do what I think is right at the moment, and what I thought, given what I had seen over two terms, that change was needed now, and I felt like the best way to do that was not to serve a third term, but to run for mayor and have the platform to engage the city to talk about that kind of change. That is what I felt needed to be done, and I just wasn't the type of person to kind of plot and plan every step of my political career to get to that brass ring. But I'm kind of an in-the-moment person. But that, boy, the last 6 months made me question whether that was...
But Sam, I have to say, it does make me feel... It does sound as if you're kind of seeing politics, or you're describing politics in Boston, at least, as a one-shot deal. But you could equally make the argument that you have a ton of name recognition now because of the mayoral race, so why not build on that?
That's true. No, that's true. Yeah, and that, of course, that thought has crossed my mind, too. Because the name recognition that I've built, you know, how can I use that to, you know, to pursue, you know, further political goals? I that would have been the case had I been able to kind of land a position here and stay in the city. But I'm not unhappy about moving to D.C. That's a great opportunity for me to work at a national level in a field that I loved and did for almost 10 years before I ran for city council, which is community economic development. And so I'm really looking forward to that opportunity. My wife, you know, she has family in that area. And mm-hmm. so there's kind of, for personal reasons, there's a good, there's an upside to moving to D.C.
Let's take a couple of callers. Looks like we have some of your former constituents here on the line. You can join us if you want. Sam Yoon is here to talk about his move away from Boston to Washington, D.C. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Mary Beth is calling from Charlestown. Welcome to Radio Boston, Mary Beth.
Mr. Yoon, I'm very sad that you're leaving, but I completely agree with your assessment of your attempt to run for mayor of Boston. I've lived here for 23 years, and I feel like I live under a dictatorship with Mayor Menino, that if you don't agree with him, and if God challenge him, you literally will be an invisible person in the city. And you know, nonprofits have to work with the city and other government agencies, and it's an unfortunate reality that, you know, you became toxic by daring challenge him. And it just, it's one of the reasons that I will not, you know, stay in Boston the rest of my life.
Mary Beth, sorry to interrupt you. We got you on a bit of a shaky cell phone line. But if I can just ask you briefly before I turn it back over to Sam, it sounds like you might have some personal experience in this in terms of, do you work for a Boston nonprofit or?
I have. I have someone very close to me who ran for city council, involved in Charlestown local politics. And if it's not the mayor's idea, it is not going to happen.
Mary Beth, thank you so much for your call. So, Sam, a word of sympathy there from Mary Beth in Charlestown.
It's a familiar theme, and it is one of the reasons that I ran. And it wasn't a personal issue with Tom Menino himself, but it's the institution that allows for that use of power to kind of dominate the dialogue about what's best for the city, and where credit is more important than collaboration. Taking credit is, takes all kind of precedence. It's not healthy, and that's an issue that I ran on.
On the other hand, I remember very clearly that maybe part of your message did get through, because when Mayor Menino won re-election and he gave his victory speech, he conceded. He said, "I've heard the message. People are calling for change. My administration now, we're going to do that." So at least at that moment, there was acknowledgement from the mayor that, you know, maybe the tide was shifting a little bit.
It was gratifying to hear that, to be honest. But it's hard for me to see the real concrete evidence of that, at least over the last 6 months. And in fact, you know, what I've been impressed with is the city council, and that's something that I'm proud of as well. Part of my message was that the city council should play a real check and balance role vis-a-vis the mayor, and they've certainly done that with the firefighters contract and libraries and whatnot. So
let's get one more call in here. Alan's calling from Shrewsbury. Welcome to Radio Boston, Alan.
Hi, Sam.
Hi, Alan.
My name is Alan, and I've worked with you in the past in the Chinatown community.
Oh, okay.
I know where your roots were over there.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, going to Washington, maybe you'll actually be able to help our local community from that position.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, this is something that the organization that I will be full time with in September, the National Alliance of Community Economic Development Associations. Their whole mission is to be the voice of community development practitioners, the 4,000 of them across the country, like Asian CDC, who labor, you know, to improve the conditions of their neighborhood. There isn't an entity that really speaks for them in D.C., and this is the mission of that organization. So, yeah, it appeals to my grassroots sort of sensibilities about where change really comes from, and so I'm really excited about this position.
Maybe, Sam, you can just describe a little bit more about the position that you'll be taking at the National Alliance of Community Economic Development Association.
It's a mouthful. The acronym is NACEDA. I'll be the executive director. They're kind of going through a transition right now. And their membership are state associations of CDCs. For instance, Massachusetts has a state association representing 80 or so CDCs, the Massachusetts Association of CDCs. They're a member of this group, NACEDA. And so through these state and regional associations, we touch a lot of the small to medium nonprofits that do work in our communities, and looking forward to working with them and empowering them.
Sam Yoon, we've got just a minute to go with you, but I got to ask you one last question.
Sure.
Your initial run for city council and then again for mayor was quite inspirational to a new generation of Bostonians. I kind of teased that earlier in the show. Young minority, eager to become part of Boston politics.
Yeah.
Do you feel that possibly your exit now from the city is evidence to them that you can't break in?
No. That would be the worst sort of legacy of my, you know, stepping into this arena. In fact, if you look at who replaced Michael Flaherty and myself on the city council, Ayanna Pressley and Felix Arroyo, both young, dynamic, you know, people of color who have backgrounds in politics and organizing, you know, and they're doing a stellar job. Very proud of them, and there will be leaders like that who will emerge from our city.
Well, Sam Yoon, former city councilor and former mayoral candidate, you will be missed from Boston, but thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I will miss Boston. Thank you.
It's day two of Elena Kagan's Supreme Court confirmation hearings. Most of the day has included standard questions on abortion, Kagan's experience on the bench or off of it, and her judicial philosophy. But she also came up against a topic many Republicans have criticized her for, military recruitment. Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama accused Kagan today of, quote, mishandling this issue when she was dean at the Harvard Law School. Here's Sessions grilling Kagan about her decision to deny military recruiters access to Harvard Law School.
What I'm having difficulty with is why you would take the steps of treating the military in a second-class way, to speak to rallies, to send out emails, immediately without legal basis. Why would you would do all those things simply to deny what Congress required, that they have equal access as anyone else?
Senator, the military at all times during my deanship had full and good access. Military recruiting did not go down. Indeed, in a couple of years, including the year that you're particularly referring to, it went up. And it went up because we ensured that students would know that the military recruiters were coming to our campus, because I talked about how important military service was, because our veterans organization and the veterans on campus did an absolutely terrific job, a terrific service to their fellow students in talking to them about the honor of military service.
Well, while my time is running down, I'm just a little taken aback by the tone of your remarks, because it's unconnected to reality. I know what happened at Harvard. I know you were an outspoken leader against the military policy. I know you acted without legal authority to reverse Harvard's policy and deny those military equal access to campus until you were threatened by the United States government of loss of federal funds. This is what happened.
Just a taste there of Senator Jeff Sessions, Republican of Alabama, questioning Supreme Court nominee and former dean of the Harvard Law School, Elena Kagan. There's much more on the Supreme Court hearings coming up in just a few minutes on All Things Considered, right at the top of the hour. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. Our program is produced by Adam Ragusea, Jessica Alpert, and Dan Mazzi. Our web reporter is Andrew Phelps. Tim Skog is our technical director. The senior producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin. Iris Adler is our executive producer. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.